بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, yesterday we had discussed regarding the realm of Barzakh, which is that phase or stage that the soul will pass through after it leaves this world. And as we mentioned yesterday, that the ruh and the soul has a very lengthy journey, which began when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And then Allah extracted the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And this was possibly millions of years ago. So this was the beginning of the journey of the ruh, of the soul. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for the person to have his existence, his life in this world, then the soul was coupled with the physical body. And the person was given life, given existence in this world for a limited period of time, 70, 80 years. And then when a person will leave this world, the soul will move onward to the realm of Barzakh. And as we had explained, that a person's body will be in his grave or wherever else his body may be, whether it's cremated or whether it is buried under the ground, thrown into the river, wherever it may be. And the soul will then be either in Sijjin if the person was an evil person, or Illiyin if he was a good person. But it will remain linked and connected to the body. And then the final stage of the journey of the ruh and soul is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the decision for qiyamah to commence. Then the physical body will be resurrected and the soul will be put back into this body, and then qiyamah will commence. So this was regarding the journey of the ruh and soul. Today we discuss our aqaid and beliefs regarding qiyamah and the signs of qiyamah. In the famous hadith of Jibreel, which we had mentioned a few days ago, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu says that a person had come, shadidu bayadi thiyab, wearing very clean white clothing, having pitch black hair, la yura alayhi atharu safar, the signs of any journey could not be seen on him. In other words, he didn't come from a distance, wala ya'rifuhu minna ahad, and nobody from amongst the people of Madina Munawwara recognized him. So he had not come from a distance, he was not an outsider, neither was he a resident of Madina Munawwara. He was an unknown person, nobody knew where he had come from. And then he sat in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He placed his hands onto his thighs and he began asking questions to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Mal Islam, what is Islam? Nabi alayhi salam replied to him. And then he told him, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. Then he asked him, Mal Iman, what is Iman? Again Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam replied to him. He says, Sadaqta. Then he says, Mal Ihsan, what is Ihsan? He replies, Sadaqta. Then Jibreel alayhi salam asks him that when will Qiyamah take place? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replies, Mal mas'ul wa anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il. That the one being questioned doesn't have any more knowledge than the questioner. In other words, you Jibreel alayhi salam do not have knowledge regarding Qiyamah, and you are asking me, I also don't have any knowledge regarding it. The exact date of Qiyamah in the hadith Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, خَمْسٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There are five things or five aspects of knowledge which are reserved exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person has been given the knowledge of these five things. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited the verse of Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. The first of these five things is the knowledge of the exact date and time of Qiyamah. Which day it will be, which year it will be, which month it will be. Some indication has been given in the ahadith, but the exact date and time, this is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. That Allah is the one who sends down rainfall. The exact amount, although ulama explain that in today's time with different, the technology that is available and the different tools available, that it is possible that somebody may be able to predict or forecast the rainfall that will be in the days coming ahead or the weeks coming ahead. And sometimes it may even be accurate, although we know 90% of the time it's not accurate. But even if it is forecasted or predicted accurately, ulama explain, one is the amount of rainfall. But whether the rain will be beneficial, whether it will nourish the crops, whether those who drink from it will become, their thirst will be quenched or not, this only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. That Allah alone knows, Allah exclusively knows what is contained within the wombs of the mothers. And here also again we find doctors may be able to tell by means of scans, etc., the gender of the child that is about to be born. And to this extent, if the child may be born with some defect, some deformity, etc., so to this extent, insan might be able to tell this much. But regarding the taqdeer of the child, whether he will be an obedient child or not, what will his lifespan be, what actions he will carry out in his life, where will he go, places he will visit, the food he will eat, whether he will get married, how many children he will have, this again is exclusively within the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. The fourth thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is no person knows what it will earn tomorrow. My exact rosy sustenance provision that I will get tomorrow, the day after that, this is not known by any person accurately. Yes, a person again can predict, generally my business does so much of turnover every day, but some unforeseen circumstances, the shop had to close, or extra customers came in, they paid extra, or he gave a discount. So a person won't know exactly how much he will earn the next day. This again is left exclusively in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. No person knows in which piece of land his mouth and death will come to him. Where will he be when it will be the time for him to leave this world? This also is exclusively in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these five things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of. The first, again coming back to what we are discussing, is the knowledge of the exact date and time of Qiyamah. So he says to Jibreel alayhi salam, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The person being questioned doesn't have any more knowledge than the questioner. So Jibreel alayhi salam then asks him that, tell me what are the alamat, what are the signs of Qiyamah. So in this hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions just two signs, and there are many other signs that have been mentioned in different ahadith, but here he explains, أَنْتَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا, that you will see a slave girl giving birth to that woman who will become her mistress, her owner. And what is meant by this, according to one interpretation, is that the mother will give birth to her daughter, and because of the fasad and the corruption of the time, the daughter will grow up and she will become so stubborn, so disobedient, so arrogant, that it will be as though she is the owner of her mother. She will be dictating terms to her, telling her what to do. The mother will be slaving behind the daughter, behind her children. So, أَنْتَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا وَأَنْتَرَى الْحُفَاةَ الْعُرَاةَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, you will see those people who are barefooted and naked, unclothed, and they are shepherds. Their job is to look after animals, to rear animals. In other words, they are Bedouins. They are uncultured people. Now you will see them competing in putting up lofty buildings. In other words, the Arabs, whose primary job, especially in Medina Munawwara, was as shepherds, they looked after, they reared livestock and animals. You will now see them competing in putting up skyscrapers, high buildings. So in this hadith, these two signs have been mentioned. And thereafter, ulama explain many, many other signs of Qiyamah. Here, ulama explain the alamat. The signs of Qiyamah are divided into three categories. One is those signs, those alamat that already took place. And the first being the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam came into this world and he was given nubuwat, this was the first sign that Qiyamah is now close. Close meaning in relation to the duration of the world, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and how many hundreds of thousands or millions of years ago that was, and all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came into this world, this was a sign, the final Nabi is here, this is the final Ummah, which means Qiyamah will be close. So one is those signs that already took place, like that we find the conquest of Al-Baytul Muqaddas, which took place in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That is the first category. Then the second category, those signs which perhaps we can say we are currently going through right now, the minor signs of Qiyamah. And a few signs that are mentioned here, we'll just read through a few of them. Again, these are signs, if we look into the books of tariq, of history and hadith, we will find in every zamana, every era, the ulama of those times felt that all the signs of Qiyamah are found. Qiyamah may come now. Any moment it could be. But when we read through these signs, we can now gauge in our time whether these signs are prevalent or not, the minor signs of Qiyamah. So one is the consumption of intoxicants will become common. And we know in today's time, to this extent, that it's freely available. A person can walk into the garage now and purchase something that is an intoxicant over the counter. So the consumption of intoxicants will become common. Fornication and adultery will become rampant. Shame and modesty will be eliminated. Speaking lies will become common. According to one hadith, it is mentioned, speaking lies will become, or will be regarded as a profession, as a skill to have. Like how we find in today's time, people will say, so and so person has the gift of the gab. He can just make anything happen, put him in a tight situation, and how he gets his way out of that situation. So it has become a profession, an art, that this person, he doesn't speak straight, so he's someone to be looked up at. So speaking lies will become common, will become a profession. People will be disobedient to their mothers and subservient to their wives. People will regard their fathers as strangers and regard their friends to be their close associates. The immoral, evil and the worst in character will assume the reins of power and government. When you see those people who are unqualified, they are not fit for the position, and they are now put in position of authority, positions of leadership, whatever level it may be, whether it be at a government level, whether it be on a lower scale, but you will find people who are unqualified, who do not have the required skills, that will now be put in these positions of leadership, then this again is a sign of Qiyamah. Oppression will become the order of the day. People will desire death due to the evil and false practices that will become rampant. Zakat will be regarded as a fine or penalty. People will find it difficult to pay zakat. The latter people of the ummah will speak ill of the previous people. In other words, people will now begin to insult the former nations or the former ones of the ummah, Salafus Salihin, the illustrious fuqaha, and the ulama of the past. People will come and say that these people lived in a different time, they didn't have knowledge, they were ignorant, we are enlightened, we are living in the 21st century, we are modern thinkers. So they will insult the Salafus Salihin, the people of the past. People will extend their businesses to such an extent that they will bring their women folk into the business to assist them. One is the man himself is in charge, he is doing business on a small scale, what he can manage. But now because he wants to expand, he wants to increase his profits, he wants to grow the business, so he doesn't bother about the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has nobody to trust, perhaps no staff to trust, nobody else that he can put there, so he will put his own wife into the shop. He will take her out of the home and now make her stand behind the counter. She's serving customers, speaking to them, smiling at them. This again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, is a sign of Qiyamah. Salam will only be made with those who a person knows. He will not make salam to anybody. He will see a Muslim, but because I don't know him, so I will not make salam to him. Control of the disbelievers will be established all over. Like this, there are many other minor signs, and as we are reading through them, we can gauge and see, my dear brothers, that to what extent these signs are prevalent and found in today's time. So this is the second category. First is, we said, those signs that had already taken place from the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Secondly, these signs which we find we are going through this period of time right now. And third are what we call the major signs of Qiyamah. The major signs of Qiyamah we find in various different kitabs. The signs of Qiyamah have been mentioned, the emergence of Dajjal, the emergence of Dabbatul Ard, that beast that will emerge from Mount Safa. Then we have the sun that will rise from the west, etc. But in all of these different ahadith and kitabs that have been written, it becomes very difficult for us to put a sequence to these events. So there is one hadith from Nawas bin Sam'an radiallahu anhu. This is a kitab which is titled Riyadus Salihin, written by Imam Nawawi rahimahullah. A very famous compilation of hadith, many masajid also, that this is the dars of hadith is done from this kitab. So we will just read through this riwayat inshallah. A beautiful hadith of Nawas bin Sam'an radiallahu anhu, which appears in Muslim Sharif also. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam puts us through the sequence of events. Not every sign is mentioned here, but many of the major signs of Qiyamah that are mentioned in order in this particular hadith. So Nawas bin Sam'an radiallahu anhu says, ذَكَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الدَّجَّالِ ذَاتَ غَدَاتٍ, that one morning Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to us and he began speaking about Dajjal. فَخَفَّضَ فِيهِ وَرَفَّعَ, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as he was discussing and describing the emergence of Dajjal, he began to raise his voice and lower his voice. like a person is speaking to someone about an important topic, how he begins to change the tone of voice as he's conveying the message. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as he caught our attention, he began changing the tone of his voice, and to this extent he emphasized the emergence of Dajjal. The Sahabi says, حَتَّى ظَنَنَّاهُ فِي طَائِفَةٍ نَخْلٍ. And we began to think that Dajjal is probably waiting in one of the date orchards of Medina, and he is about to emerge. He must be here already, and it will just be a day or two and he will be in Medina Munawwara. فَلَمَّا رُحْنَا إِلَيْهِ. He says, when we then, Nabi alayhi salam finished this discussion, he went away, we also parted. And when we came back to the masjid in the evening, عَرَفَ ذَلِكَ فِينَا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could recognize on our faces that this was bothering us. It was troubling us, and we were apprehensive, we were worried. فَقَالَ مَا شَأْنُكُمْ. So he asks, O my sahaba, what is the matter? I can see this concern on your faces. قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ ذكرت الدجال الغدات فخفضت فيه ورفعت حتى ظننناه في طائفة النخل. So he says that we said, O Nabi of Allah, this morning you mentioned about Dajjal and you spoke to us so earnestly and seriously that we began thinking that he may be in one of the date orchards of Medina. فقال, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then said that, O my sahaba, غير الدجال أخوفني عليكم. It is not Dajjal that I fear the most for you. This is not my major concern. Generally, a person is very fearful that if Dajjal will come, what will I do? Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is putting their hearts and mind at ease. And look at how beautifully he explains to them that إِي يَخْرُجْ وَأَنَا فِيكُمْ فَأَنَا حَجِيجُهُ دُونَكُمْ. If Dajjal has to emerge and I am still here, then I will defend you. I will protect you. You do not have to worry about it. وَإِي يَخْرُجْ وَلَسْتُ فِيكُمْ. And if he has to emerge and I am not here, I have left this world, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَمْرُؤٌ حَجِيجُ نَفْسِهِ. Every person will be able to defend himself. In other words, I have left behind the tools that for you to use to defend yourself. It is not a difficult task. We have Suratul Kahf also, which if a person will read every Jumu'ah, according to one riwayat, the entire surah, according to another narration, the bare minimum, first 10 verses and the last 10 verses of Suratul Kahf, this will be guaranteed protection against Dajjal. So he says, a person will be able to defend himself. وَاللَّهُ خَلِيفَتِي عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. And Allah will take care of every Muslim on my behalf. And then he describes that إِنَّهُ شَابٌ قَطَةٌ. That Dajjal will be a young man with unruly, with wild hair. So he will not have straight hair. عَيْنُهُ طَافِيَةٌ. His one eye will be protruding. In one hadith it is mentioned, كَأَنَّهُ عِنَبٌ. Like a grape, the shape of a grape as it protrudes. If a person imagines a grape that is put into the eye socket, so this will be his one eye. And the other eye, we know, will be covered, just a piece of skin. That is why we generally know him to be one-eyed. This doesn't necessarily mean that the eye will be in the center, but rather from various riwayat we understand that where one eye is supposed to be, there will be a piece of skin. Like a person, he goes for eye surgery or something like this, and he loses vision in that eye. After some time, the skin will begin to close over it. So you won't see that eye. The other eye will be protruding. كَأَنِّي أُشَبِّهُهُ بِعَبْدِ الْعُزَّ بْنِ قَطَن. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, there was a person in Medina Munawwara whose name was Abdul Uzza bin Qatan. So he says that he will resemble this person in appearance. فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَهُ مِنْكُمْ. That person who comes across Dajjal, فَلْيَقْرَ عَلَيْهِ فَوَاتِحَ سُورَةِ الْكَهَفِ. Then read the opening verses of Suratul Kahf and blow this on him. Make dumb on him with this and you will protect yourself from him. إِنَّهُ خَارِجٌ خَلَّةٍ بَيْنَ الشَّامِ وَالْعِرَاقِ. He will emerge somewhere between Sham and Iraq. Sham is the entire area, Syria, Palestine, and all these lands make up the land of Sham. So somewhere in that region he will emerge. فَعَاثَ يَمِينًا وَعَاثَ شِمَالًا. He will cause corruption, cause havoc, cause destruction to the east and the west, in every direction. Ya ibad Allah fathbutu. Nabi alayhi salam gives advice. He says, O the slaves of Allah, fathbutu. Be firm, be steadfast, don't lose your iman at this time. Qulna ya Rasulallah, O Nabi of Allah, wa ma lubthuhu fil ard. What will be the duration of his stay in this world? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then says, arba'una yawman. That he will live in this world for a period of 40 days. But the 40 days will not be a normal 40 days. يَوْمٌ كَسَنَةٍ. So we can count it. One day from this 40 days will be like 1 year, which is 355 days. according to the lunar calendar, the Shari'i calendar. So one of these 40 days will be like 1 year, 355 days. وَيَوْمٌ كَشَهْرٍ. The second day will be like 1 month, 30 days. So we have 385. وَيَوْمٌ كَجُمُعَةٍ. The third day will be like 1 week, 7 days, 392. And then وَسَائِرُ أَيَّامِهِ كَأَيَّامِكُمْ. The remainder of the days will be as normal. So 392 and 37. Sat is awake. What's the total? We can do the maths, inshallah. So one day will be like 1 year, one day like a month, one day like a week, and the remaining 37 days as normal. Now look at the concern of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where their minds and hearts went to. They said, O Nabi of Allah, you are saying one day will be the duration of 1 year. Tell us, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَسَنَةٍ أَتَكْفِينَا فِيهِ صَلَاةُ يَوْمٍ. Do we have to perform the salah of 1 day or the salah of 1 year? If that day will be the duration of 1 year, the sun will rise, and we can imagine how long it will be. Perhaps 6 months now it will be daylight, and then it will be night time again. So should we perform just one salah, the salah of 1 day, or what do we do? Nabi alayhi salam says, أُقْدُرُوا لَهُ قَدْرَهُ. That you must now determine or estimate the times of salah, and now you will not read according to the sun, you will read according to estimation. That's why somebody mentioned, we have the perpetual salah times, this is the sign of Qiyamah also. Because we are estimating and predicting the time of salah. The original was to look at the sun, when the sun will rise, sun will set, or at midday, what is the length of the shadow of objects, etc. This was how the salah time was normally calculated. Then they ask O Nabi of Allah, how swiftly will he move through the earth? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Kal ghayth istadbarathu ar-rih. Like rain which is being pushed by the wind. How when there is a strong wind blowing and we see the rain moving very swiftly, this will be the speed that he will move. فَيَأْتِي عَلَى الْقَوْمِ. He will come across a group of people. He will invite them to believe in him. They will bring iman in him. They'll say, we believe in you. وَيَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُ. What will he do? He will then command the sky. Rain will fall upon them. The earth will then give out crops for them. فَتَرُوحُ عَلَيْهِمْ سَارِحَتُهُمْ أَطْوَلَ مَا كَانَتْ ذُرًا وَأَسْبَغَهُ ضُرُوعًا. Their animals will come back to them in the evening. They will let them out in the morning. They will go and graze. When the animals return in the evening, they will be fattened. They will be very healthy. In other words, these people will prosper. After bringing iman, believing in Dajjal, he will make it such. Allah will give him the authority and the power to give them of dunya. So they will see that now they are flourishing because they have brought iman in him. Then he will come to another group of people. He will invite them, but they will reject his invitation. They will not bring iman in him. And now what will he do? فَيُصْبِحُونَ مُمْحِلِينَ لَيْسَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Their condition will become such that they will not have any of their wealth left behind. In other words, they will go through a very difficult time. Allah knows best whether he will suddenly put a block on their bank accounts or what will happen. But these people will not have any means of dunya. They will not have anything that they can use to lead their lives in this world comfortably. وَيَمُرُّ بِالْخَرِيبَ. Allah will give him permission. He will pass by a dead piece of land. And he will say that now take out your treasures. And the treasures of the land will now come out and begin following him like a drone of bees. Whether it be the gold, silver, the oil, the riches of the land will begin to follow him. And then Dajjal will call a person, a young man, who is in the prime of his youth. He will tell him, do you believe in me? I am your ilah, I am your deity. This person will say no. So Dajjal will then take a sword and split him in half. He will split his body in half. This person will, of course, fall down. He will pass away. فَيَقْطَعُهُ جِزْلَتَيْنِ. Then in front of everybody, Dajjal will now call him and tell him to wake up once again. And again Allah will give him the authority that the body will come back together and this person will come back to life. Then he'll say to him, now do you believe that I am Allah? I took your life, I brought you back to life. But this person will have iman. So he'll say, oh Dajjal, I am even more convinced now that you are Dajjal, you are not Allah. So this will be how he will play these mind games, these tricks on people. While all of this is happening, now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now send Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. فَيَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْمَسِيحَ ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ فينزل عند المنارة البيضاء شرقية دمشق. He will descend on the eastern minaret, or rather he will descend at the white minaret on the eastern side of Damascus. بين مهرودتين, between two pillars. واضعا كفيه على أجنحة ملكين, with his hands placed on the shoulders of two angels. And when he lifts his head up, then the beads of perspiration will be seen on his forehead. As he puts his head down, those beads will now roll down like pearls running down his face. So like this, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be sent back into this world. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the power Allah will give him is that any disbeliever, any kafir, who will sense or will come across the breath of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he will immediately die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him this power that his breath will be able to reach as far as his eyes can see. So like this, in a very easy manner and very quickly, he will be able to defeat many of the enemy. And then he will pursue Dajjal. This is what he has come for. فَيَطْلُبُهُ حَتَّى يُدْرِكَهُ بِبَابِ لُدْ. He will find him, catch him at a place called Babu Lud, and then he will kill him. So this will be the duty of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He will accomplish this. Then Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will now come to that group of people who Allah Ta'ala had protected and saved from Dajjal. He will come to them, he will find them. And فَيَمْسَحُ عَنْ وُجُوهِهِمْ. He will now remove whatever worry and concern and stress that they had. It was a trying time for them. They didn't know whether the iman will be protected or not. He will give them the glad tidings. I have taken the life of Dajjal and now you are safe. He will then inform them and begin to tell them, give them glad tidings of their status in Jannah. That because you protected your iman, you resisted the advances of Dajjal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you Jannah. While all of this is happening, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Isa alayhi salam that I have now released some of my creation, some slaves of mine. So take this group of believers and rush to Mount Tur. That is where you will be saved and protected. Which group has Allah now released? This is now the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, which we read in the 16th Juz, the incident of Dhul Qarnain, where he had come across a group of people and they complained to him. Dhul Qarnain was a pious person, he was a leader, he was a king, ruled over many continents and countries. So he comes across a group of people and they say to him, O Dhul Qarnain, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are causing corruption, they are causing havoc in the land, and why don't you help us to get rid of them? And the entire incident is mentioned, how he then assists them to build a wall and to block them in a valley between two mountains, and they will only emerge when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to emerge. The hadith comes in Tirmidhi Sharif that each day they chip away at this particular barrier, this wall, and when the sun is about to set, then the leader says to them that leave your work for the day and we'll come back tomorrow and we'll continue. But because they do not say inshallah, this, when they return the next morning, the wall is back as it was and they have to restart and start chipping away at it once again. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that they must now emerge, then on that particular day, according to this riwayat, the leader will say to them that now leave your work for the day, we will come back and complete it tomorrow inshallah. When he says this, they will return the next day, they will see it as they had left it, and they will then be able to break through and emerge from here. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, he comes into the masjid with a worried look on his face. His face had turned red. And he says to the sahaba radiallahu anhum, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبْ. The destruction, woe be to the Arabs, of an imminent, a very close by evil that is about to happen. And then he explains to them, فُتِحَ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ رَدْمِ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ مِثْلُ هَذَا. Nabi alayhi salam made a gesture with his hand to say that this amount, a hole has been opened in the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So to condition the minds of Sahaba that their emergence could be at any time. So Allah will say to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that I have brought these slaves of mine out, so quickly take the believers and go to Mount Tur. This is where you will be safe. And then the entire description how Ya'juj and Ma'juj will emerge, we'll just go through it very quickly. They will come across a very large body of water, a large river or a large dam. And it is mentioned that the first portion of the army will come across it and they will begin to drink from there. They will be thirsty and then they will continue, they will pass through, and the rest of them will now come, follow behind. When the last portion of their army or their group now comes, they will come across that riverbed and they will say, لَقَدْ كَانَ بِهَذِهِ مَرَّةً مَا. That it looks like at some point in the past there was water here. So we can imagine the size of this army. That the first portion drank up all the water of the river and they moved ahead. And the last portion comes and they say, it looks like there was water here at some point in time. Meaning there's no trace of water left behind. So a very large army that Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be. And they will begin to cause corruption in the earth, in the land. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam now would have taken this group of believers and they would go to Mount Tur. Here Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains that on that day gold and silver will not benefit them. If a person has livestock, he has animals, this will be of benefit to him. Then Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down a particular insect or a bird that will then fall onto the necks of the Ya'juj and Ma'juj and will infect them, and like this they will die. فَيُصْبِحُونَ فَرْسَ كَمَوْتِ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. They will all then die because of this insect or this bird that Allah subhanahu or this worm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down. And then the news will be given to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He will bring the believers down from Mount Tur. It is mentioned that he will not find even a hand span in the entire world except that their corpse or their stench and dirt has filled up the entire land. So the entire world will be full either with their corpse or with the dirt and stench and smell of them. So he will now again make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then send down rain. And this rain will then fall upon the entire land. There won't be any baked, unbaked home that will be free from this rain falling upon it. And the effect of this is that the entire ground will then be wiped. The bodies and the corpse will then be carried by birds, special birds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send with very long necks. They will pick up the bodies and the corpses and then go and dump them حَيْثُ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. The Hadith Sharif mentions, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, the bodies and the corpses of Ya'juj and Ma'juj will then be dumped. Then this group of believers will come, and then it will be years of great prosperity. They will live with Iman. It will be again a dini environment. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be there. Eventually he will pass away. Hazrat Mahdi will be there also. So this entire description has been mentioned. One point also to take note of, ulama have explained regarding these descriptions here as we are reading. For example, the corpse will be taken by a bird and then it will be taken and dumped somewhere. So ulama explain, one is to put an interpretation to it and to try and fit it into modern times, that this bird maybe, like we call a helicopter a bird also, it's a bird in the sky. Maybe it refers to this, maybe it refers to a crane, but this is not necessary. Rather, amirruhu ala zahirihi. The safest and the best thing for a person to do, as it appears in the hadith, we leave it to be like this. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to happen, this is how it will happen. Whether Allah sends an actual bird, which is a living animal, or whether it is some type of crane, whether it is some type of aeroplane or helicopter, Allah knows best. But there is no need for us to now delve into it and try and fit it according to our times. It may be that this will only happen in another 500 years. Allah knows best what type of technology will be available at that time. So amirruhu, the safest usul and principle when it comes to these signs of the end of time is for a person to leave it as it appears. The description mentioned in the hadith, we leave it like this, we believe in it, we have iman in it, our aqidah is this is true, but exactly how it will happen, this is left in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many, many more signs, time has run out already. But for us to go back and read, again, the important thing as we see in this hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is not the thing that I fear the most. Dajjal, I don't fear him the most for you. I've given you already the tools for protection, for safety. If you will read Suratul Kahf, you will make an effort on your iman, then you will be able to protect yourself from him. Another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to the Sahaba, the thing I fear the most for you, not Dajjal, not Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and not the signs of Qiyamah that will come to the end of time, the thing that I fear the most for you is that dunya will be opened up for you. Is that now you will become so prosperous, fatanafasu. You will then begin to compete with one another as far as your dunya is concerned, as the people of the past would do. This is what I fear over you. Once this happens, and your mind now moves in the direction of dunya, now it will become difficult for you to protect yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tools for protection. We're reading our morning and evening du'as, alhamdulillah, wa surah Yasin. Would that we have on the day of Jumu'ah, our suratul Kahf. Let us make it a habit, inshallah. At least make niyat that I will take some time out. We can commence from Maghrib on a Thursday night. Already the night of Jumu'ah would begin. Ulama say we can commence then, if we have to. Even if we read a few pages, and then we complete it in the morning, or Jumu'ah time, we have right till Maghrib time on Friday again. So that full 24 hours we have to try and foot in our Suratul Kahf. This will protect us from the fitna of Dajjal, and from the fitna of the end of times. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Commence with our Surah Yasin now, inshaAllah.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم سبحان الله العظيم وبحمده ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان الله العظيم وبحمده ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان الله العظيم وبحمده ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله على ديني ونفسي وولدي وأهلي ومالي بسم الله على ديني ونفسي وولدي وأهلي ومالي بسم الله على ديني ونفسي وولدي وأهلي ومالي بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم
بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات، وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات، وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات، وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات، وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. فلما ألقوا قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر، إن الله سيبطله، إن الله لا يصلح عمل المفسدين، ويحق الله الحق بكلماته ولو كره المجرمون. فلما ألقوا قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر، إن الله سيبطله، إن الله لا يصلح عمل المفسدين، ويحق الله الحق بكلماته ولو كره المجرمون. فلما ألقوا قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر، إن الله سيبطله، إن الله لا يصلح عمل المفسدين، ويحق الله الحق بكلماته ولو كره المجرمون. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعذني من شر نفسي. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت، خلقتني وأنا عبدك، وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت، أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي، فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من أن أشرك بك شيئا وأنا أعلم، وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من أن أشرك بك شيئا وأنا أعلم، وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من أن أشرك بك شيئا وأنا أعلم، وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. نكزيكنا دعاء إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. فاذكروني أذكركم، أنا جليس من ذكرني. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله، 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله، 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه. الله 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 الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلينا ومن الماء البارد اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك وأتمم علينا نعمتك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين اللهم آتنا أفضل ما تؤتي عبادك الصالحين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. We have about 10 minutes left for Salatul Ishraq, inshallah. Let us engage in some ibadat and thereafter perform our Salatul Ishraq.